Lots of people believe in angels. They think angels are heavenly friends sent to work out our earthly problems. Not so fast. The reality is that angels exist to do the will of God and to exalt God's Son, as should we. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is far above the angels and above all creation. To find out more about just how exalted Jesus is, stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Highlights from Hebrews, and our text is in Hebrews chapter 1. Join us now as Dr. Lutzer comes to teach further about someone better than angels.
Jesus Christ, in these days, God has spoken through His Son. And in light of Christ, we are led to the white light of God's holiness and beauty. And beside Him, there is none other. Now what the author does is to talk to us more specifically about the contrast between Jesus Christ and angels. And he gives at least three reasons why Jesus Christ is really superior to the angels. Let's look at the text again. First of all, he is more superior because he has a superior name, a superior name. Notice it says, verse 4, having become as much better than the angels as he had inherited a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels did he ever say, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee? Has God ever said to Michael, the archangel, has he ever said to him, you are my son? No, God didn't say that. Now, it's true that in the Old Testament, angels are called sons of God in a general sense. In fact, we are even sons of God. But not in the specific sense of God's unique Son. Today have I begotten thee. That relationship of sonship indicates the very same nature as God. If I had a son, and I'm speaking to those of you who have sons, you know that your son has your nature. And Jesus Christ has God's nature as God's son. Now, I want you to know that I personally believe that Christ's sonship began in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ was always God of very God. But this relationship of sonship happened when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. Today have I begotten thee. And the angel said to Mary, that which is conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit and shall be called the Son of God. And I look upon sonship as an analogy to try to help us understand the subordination and the obedience of Jesus Christ to the plan that the Trinity had worked out before time began. You see, this really helps us when those folks come knocking on the door. And they always come in twos. It's very important that they do. And they tell you that they hand you a Bible and they show you verses that show that Jesus Christ is the Son. And then they began to say, well, you know, a son is never as superior as his father. And then they began to show the subordination of Jesus Christ to the Father. And they began to say that Christ is a second God. He is not really God, a very God. Well, I want you to know today that his sonship began at Bethlehem. And as I mentioned, is an analogy of Christ's submission to do the will of God and the will of the Father while on earth. It does not mean in any way that Christ is less than God, a very God. We pick up the text, and of course you know that if we had time, we'd go to all the Old Testament references here. But God says, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, Let all the angels of God worship him. Keep your finger on verse 6 for a moment. There again, the word firstborn is used. It does not mean that Christ is the firstborn and then there were other gods who were somehow created, as false cults sometimes teach. That word firstborn itself does not mean first in relation to time, but first in relation to preeminence. For example, in the Old Testament, Esau was older than Jacob, and yet the Bible says that Jacob was the firstborn. So we must bear in mind that the writer is emphasizing that Jesus Christ is God's very special son. And even when he was brought into the world as a son, what does he say? Last part of verse 6, let all the angels of God worship him. You don't worship angels. You worship God. And that's why you can worship the Son. So he says, first of all, the Son has a superior name. He is called a Son. Of course, there are many other names that Jesus Christ had. It's just that he got a new one when he came at Bethlehem and became God's firstborn Son. Secondly, I want you to notice that he is not only superior in name, but superior in position. Verse 8. But of the Son, he says, now listen, God is speaking here in verse 8. Don't let this get by you. But of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. You know, sometimes I've heard people say, well, nowhere in the Bible does it expressly say that Jesus Christ is God. It implies it because we're to worship him. He had the ability to forgive sins, and only God can do that. But it doesn't say it expressly. Oh, yes, it does right here. Remember, the Father is speaking to the Son, and he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. You say, well, how do those friends on the doorstep then handle this verse, since they don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ? Would you believe that they came out with a new translation of the Bible? And they had to. But one of the things they did is they tried to turn this into a question. But of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever? Question? Implying, no, your throne is not forever and ever. It's amazing the latitude that some people have taken to try to make the Bible fit their heresies. You'll notice that it says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. One day one of our daughters said, Daddy, is it okay to pray to Jesus, or should we pray to God? That's a good question. Children sometimes ask very good questions. Especially our children, they asked very good questions. And the answer, of course, is yes, we should pray to God in Jesus' name. But it's okay to pray to Jesus, because when you are praying to Jesus, you are praying to God. And a child who prays to Jesus knows more about theology than all the liberals in our universities who don't recognize Jesus Christ to be God. It's okay to pray to Jesus. Now notice what it goes on to say. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy companions. Just one quick observation. Do you notice that there is a link between loving righteousness and hating iniquity? And by nature, you know, you and I don't do that, do we? By nature, we tend to love iniquity and feel very uncomfortable with righteousness. But when we're born again, God gives us a new nature so that we should indeed learn to love righteousness and hate iniquity. You don't have to learn to love iniquity. That just happens automatically. All that you need to be born as a member of the human race. But notice what it says. Because Christ loved righteousness and hated lawlessness, God anointed him with the oil of gladness. And the same can be true of all of his companions, though the oil of gladness that he received was above his companions. Do you realize today that there's a connection between holiness and happiness? We always say to ourselves, well, if you're really going to be holy, you can never be happy. Imagine being holy, so pious that you could never enjoy anything. You could never make a paper airplane and shoot it out in a stadium. Well, I want you to know today that the more holy we are, the happier we will be. The more joy will be in our hearts. It was true for Christ, and it's true for us. And thou, O Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They will perish, but thou remainest, and they all will become old as a garment. And as a mantle thou wilt roll them up, as a garment they also will be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years will not come to an end. Here we see the eternality of Christ. The Bible says in 2 Peter that someday the earth and the heavens will melt away in fervent heat, and God is going to create a new heaven and a brand new earth. And all through this, you see, the old heaven and the earth are like a garment that you fold up and it's gone, but Jesus Christ remains. He was here long before creation. He's been here during creation. He will be here after the earth and the heavens are destroyed and there's a new creation, and he will go on forever. Verse 13, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet? Notice that Christ is superior because he has a superior name. He has a superior position, verse 8, namely, he is in the heavens in the very throne of God, sitting on the throne, which is not true of angels, and he has a superior destiny, verse 13. God says that he's to sit at his right hand until his enemies be made a footstool, but as for angels, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? The destiny of angels is to serve. The destiny of the Son is to rule at the right hand of God the Father and to rule over his enemies, who will become a footstool for his feet.
Well, I really do think that the first chapter of the book of Hebrews that I've been speaking on really does make a distinction between that which is temporary, that which is going to be destroyed, and that which is going to last forever. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer reminding you that God is forever, reminding you that angels will live forever, but you and I will also live forever. So as I conclude today from my heart to yours, remember, today live for that which is forever.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has brought part two of Someone Better Than Angels, the first of six messages in his series, Highlights from Hebrews. On tomorrow's broadcast, we'll explore Christ's right to ownership. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our series from Hebrews will help you draw near to God in fully assured faith. Highlights from Hebrews can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Finally, you can write to Running to Win, Box 11-174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Don't miss tomorrow's Running to Win.